Well, greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Lord, we thank you, God, for taking good care of us and guiding us in your ways, Lord, cleansing your people, delivering from evil. We thank you so much, Father, for the wonderful work you're doing among your people, in Jesus' name. And show us some good news today, Father. Thank you. Amen. Well, I do have some good news. I think we're going to call this revelation, "The U.S. Goes Right and Destroys Babylon." And first I want to share this revelation of Missy Pollock on the 12th. And it's very good. She said, "I saw a large passenger jetliner flying low in the sky. It was blue on the bottom." And I'm going to say what I felt the Lord show me. Blue represents heavenly. And in this case, what the earth is seeing is coming from heaven by grace. And the blue came up around the nose, meaning heavenly discernment, around the nose of the jetliner. Okay. And now this will make more sense in a moment. The top was silver gray, which I believe, especially on the top or on the head, represents wisdom and maturity. And between the two colors was a narrow strip of red, and I would call that wrapped in the blood. And just to let you know a little bit ahead of time here, I believe this represents Air Force One. And that these things are going to be coming from or be upon the leadership of this country in order to lead this country. The jetliner was moving slow from my left to my right. Well, it's slower than we would like it to go, and I suppose we could pray for it to speed up. But it's going slow. And it's turning right. The country is turning away from the criminal left to a more righteous country, at least as far as the government is concerned. And she said it did two rolls to its right. Again, turning to the right. And all three of attributes that are represented by these colors are seen by the earth below as it rolls like this, of course. And another thought came to me was joy. You know, you don't really roll big airliners like that, and especially not Air Force One. they don't allow any playing around like that with the leadership of the country, but. She said, "I had no sense that it was going to crash, but knew that the jetliner was deliberately doing these rolls in the sky." Well, God is revealing what he is doing with America. No man can take the credit. Trump is getting a lot of credit, you know, and his leadership is getting a lot of credit. But really, the only way he's been able to stand up and even stay alive is by God. And God is granting unto him wisdom and discernment from heaven in order to do this great work of grace for America, which we certainly do not deserve. But God is doing this for his namesake, as we'll see in a few minutes. So, a going right. And it's going to continue to go right, according to this. And as we're going to see, it's going to continue to destroy the Babylonish entity that has been ruling this country behind the scenes. Missy said, I thought I would see if I could find a passenger plane on the internet that looked like the one in my dream, and I couldn't find one. And then what came to my mind was Air Force One, the plane that the president travels on. So I looked to see if the plane I saw looked like it. It looked similar, but the coloring was slightly different. Even though it was the same coloring, it was still slightly different. So I thought I would ask the Lord if it really was Air Force One. And I asked and got asked for a sign and got two heads for a yes. Then I asked for a verse for the same question to confirm this. And underlined is where my finger came down in Daniel 5 and 2. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, of course, that's the last king of Babylon that met his fate at the hands of Cyrus, who we know as Trump, right? Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple, which is at in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines might drink therefrom. Well, let's see here. The king, or the president, is, of course, now the king of Babylon, an entity that has invaded the U.S. I believe, she says, this dream is about President Trump and the man-child, but I'm not sure of the details. Okay, well, we'll look a little bit more at the details here. But if we see the symbolism only and not the historic meaning, we can see that Trump is now the king over Babylon. He is drinking wine, representing in our Lord's Supper the nature of Jesus. We understand that he is doing that. He is studying the Bible, studying Christianity, has Bible studies every morning, etc. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. So he is drinking from the vessels which were taken captive to Babylon, which are Christians, right? He's drinking from them. And of course, everybody grows up by coming through Babylon. You can't really escape it. It's ignorance about God, you know. It represents in Christianity ignorance about God and apostasy and doctrines and things. But the basics are what really is being given there. And many people are qualified to do that. He is turning the country to the right increasingly, just as Cyrus did. Historically, the previous king over Babylon tried to bring in his foreign gods and force them on the people who didn't want this. So it has been in these days with Obama and Islam. He has been trying to force Islam down America's throat. And as you know, something very similar happened when Cyrus took over from Belshazzar. So President Trump is undoing everything Obama did. And he's on his way, still traveling, right? He's kind of slow. You might want to pray about that. Or else we just want to be faster than God. Either way, the man-child, who is a corporate body, is running parallel to Trump and is also undoing the Babylonish religious system and their rulers, the destruction and the apostasy that they brought into Christianity. So we can see a pretty good parallel there. And this is good news. This is all good news. The man-child is working towards this end, not yet anointed to be king, but is working towards this end. Much like, Joseph took care of his father's sheep, and David took care of his father's sheep. This was before they were anointed to be the king, basically. And so there is a group of people out there that are about to, come forth with a special anointing, the anointing of Jesus Christ. And so she says, then I asked for a word by faith at random, asking, what does the plain doing two roles mean? Be exchanged is where my finger came down in Job 28 and 17. Be exchanged. That's very interesting. Reconciliation means exchange. And of course we know what this reconciliation means. It means taking of God's grace and giving it to us, and taking of our failures and our faults and taking them to the cross. An exchange is being made, right? And I believe that role represents what is only seen in heaven is revealed to the earth. You see, the only thing you can see from a plane when it's flying over is the beneath, right? But when it rolls, you get to see these colors. And then you get the revelation of, oh, that's Air Force One, when you see the colors, right? And as the colors reveal what? Wisdom, the blood, and the heavenly gift. And of course, we can see that this is a heavenly gift. So many people have prayed to undo everything that the satanic left has done. And God is doing that. In fact, I believe people may be slacking off a little bit and should go back to praying. Do spiritual warfare against the spirits behind the satanic left. And I'm not just holding that to the left. There's many people in the right that have been bought off, bribed off, or just they were leftists already. But many of them are caught in a trap. They don't dare open their mouth because they've got the goods on them. And that's what this leftist organization did a good job of, is getting something on people. And they did that in order to control. And so all that's going to be found out, and even the people that have been bribed or threatened, that's all going to be found out. There's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. But a reconciliation of sorts is happening. Just as she put her finger on, be exchanged. The meaning of reconciliation. And so here's the text that she put her finger on. Job 28, 12 through 22. Remember, it was verse 17. 12 says, but where shall wisdom be found? How cool is that? Where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Our government has been about as far from wisdom and understanding as you can get, or I believe as far as we've ever been from it. The demons that we call the stupid demons had totally taken it over. And even now they're making so many stupid mistakes because they don't realize that these faction and witchcraft demons make people very stupid. And make them make a lot of mistakes, as we found out in the religious realm, and it's happening in the political realm. So, man knoweth not the price thereof, the price that must be paid for wisdom, right? Neither is it found in the land of the living. The deep saith, it is not in me. We know that. The deep state knows it's not in them. And the sea saith, it is not in me. It cannot be gotten, for gold In other words, you can't pay for this wisdom from God, heavenly wisdom, wrapped in the blood, right? Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir. It's much more valuable than that, right? With the precious onyx or the sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it. Neither shall it be exchanged, there's the word, for jewels of fine gold. What will it be exchanged for? What does the reconciliation come by? The blood. Oh, praise God. Isn't that neat? No mention shall be made of coral or crystal. Yea, the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it. Neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the birds of the heavens. That's the demons, right? Destruction and death say, we have heard a rumor thereof with our ears. So, nothing can be exchanged for understanding or wisdom but the blood of Jesus. It has given us reconciliation. Amen? Exchange. Right. And, of course, that's where we have to go. By the grace of God, to get this. And it is marvelous. It is marvelous what the Lord is doing in granting the wisdom of things that are hidden to this administration. And, of course, that's because God's people are praying for this heavenly gift of wisdom from heaven, and God is giving it. Glory be to God. And continue to do that. Saints, let's do it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to give uncommon wisdom to this leadership that is destroying this Babylonish invasion of satanic leftist government. Thank you, Father, for doing this. Thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that they can hide from this administration. It's all going to come out. Lord, I do wish you'd rush things up, but that's just me. I ask you to do it, just in case you will. Rush things up. We all want to see a lot of these people in jail and out of the way. And we just give thanks unto you, Father, for doing that. We thank you for sending forth your angels to do battle against the demon hordes that the Satanists, the elite, have sent forth. Their sacrifices that they do in our schools, where they're killing our children, and they sacrifice innocent blood. They claim that's the best. And a lot of people don't know that's who's doing this, but that's who's doing it. And so, Father, we thank you for revealing that plainly, saving our children from their filthy hands. And thank you, Lord, that there'll be a great revival among your people because of all of this oppression. And that people will see your great hand in delivering this nation and other parts of the world, too, from this. So, Missy said, I asked the Lord for two verses for this dream by faith at random. And let me just say, God is revealing his mighty power to take down Babylon like Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. The text she got was Psalms 93, 5 through 5. 5, 1 through 5, excuse me. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. He hath girded himself therewith. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. God does what he wants to do among the inhabitants of the earth and over their governments. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. Well, this reminds me of the Red Sea, doesn't it, you? Because God has applied the Red Sea through the Bible, as we've discovered in the past, to the fall of Babylon at the hands of Cyrus. He called it a Red Sea, right? Experience. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves above the voices of many waters, the mighty breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. And this is the message we're going to find all down through here. The strength of the Lord to save his people. And God's going to use those waters of the Red Sea to symbolically take down the enemies who wanted to destroy God's people, but instead destroyed themselves. Think about it. Yeah. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forevermore. And that's very similar to this next text, but there's more things added. It's about saving God's people from Babylonish captivity, which today is this deep state, left-wing, satanic government, along with this very similar religious system and its false prophet leadership that is falsely called Christianity. And this is what Jesus in Trump or Cyrus and in the man-child will do. Amen. And the plane is going right. It's going right and revealing what God is doing from heaven with these roles. Okay? So this next text is Isaiah 43:11, but in context we're going to read 8 through 13. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, the deaf that have ears. People's eyes and ears are getting open to what God is doing here. They're seeing a massive miracle in front of their eyes, something they thought would never happen. They thought they were in an impossible situation. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Well, you can tell by former things what's going to happen in the future, can you not? The story of Cyrus conquering Belshazzar, the last king of Babylon, is a story that's ongoing. Let them bring their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. And before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Well, you know, we've had a wonderful revelation of this. The Satanists all over the world, the witches all over the world gathered together to curse Trump, and he's been blessed ever since. Islam has done what they can to come against Trump, and he's been blessed ever since. So all these gods, you know, are against him, of course, and all the demonic hordes are against him. But you know what? If God is for you, who can be against you? I mean, who can prosper in their evil against you? Verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. We shouldn't be trusting in anything else, including President Trump. We need to be trusting in the Lord, our Savior. He's our only Savior. And he's the only one that could do this wonderful turnaround. And he's showing from heaven his power to save. I have declared and I have saved. and I have showed. Well, he's the one who told us this was going to happen, right? And who else in the world could have said that? And there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, says the Lord, and I am God. Yea, since the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who can hinder it? Yes, and amen. And the nations are looking on. The nations were looking on when God sunk Pharaoh in the Red Sea. And they bragged about him, and they were afraid of his people. You remember the stories as they went through the wilderness and ran into God's enemies, and how the testimony and witness was spoken, just like Rahab spoke it, you know. You'll notice as we continue the text that this Babylonish system, governmental and religious, will be brought down, like Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I will bring down all of them, as fugitives, even the Chaldeans, in the ships of their rejoicing. Oh, praise God. So, you know, don't get disturbed or moved by what's going on in the news. I mean, you know, obviously there's lots of good to hold on to there. We don't need to waste a whole lot of time there, obviously. There's a lot of good going on there, but don't be disturbed about the negative. These people can't hide. God himself is saying right here, he's going to take care of them. He's taking them down. And I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel your King. Thus saith the Lord, who maketh a way in the sea. Yes, who maketh a way in the sea. They went through the same sea that destroyed Pharaoh and his army. Isn't that amazing? And a path in the mighty waters, who bringeth forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the mighty man. He had them. He changed Pharaoh's mind. He hardened his heart. He had him jump on his chariot along with his army and go after the people of God. And I believe that we're seeing the Red Sea swallow them up one after the other now. But there's still, I think, probably a pretty nice finish on this thing. They lay down together. They shall not arise. They are extinct. The army and the mighty man, they lie down together. They shall not arise. They are extinct. They are quenched as a wick. Do you believe the Lord? Well, then you can believe him and exercise his authority over the nations and over the leadership of the nations, as Psalm 149 says, of even the very least of us. Yeah. We're the ones doing this, saints. They're looking around for their enemy, and all they can see is flesh. But the people of God are the ones that are doing this. When God decides to do something, he does it through his people. He has them pray. So keep praying. Keep believing. I mean, send forth the angels, right, to do these jobs. Remember ye not the former things. Well, we can remember the former things, like Obama, Clinton, etc. Neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Well, has this ever been new? Has anything like this ever happened in this country? Anybody that rose up against the deep state ended up dead. And it doesn't look like Trump is hiding. But the Lord is taking care of it. I will do a new thing. Let me say, this is very new to us, but it's not to history. The story of Cyrus and the man-child is written throughout the Bible. Types and shadows. Now shall it spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'd say everybody that is a Christian knows it, at least. I will even make a way in the wilderness. Yes, and that, of course, follows the Red Sea, the wilderness. But at least you're not going to have Pharaoh's army chasing you into the wilderness, right? That's why this is necessary. This is why the Lord told me he was taking down the faction. He said, you don't want to go into the wilderness with these people, do you? He corrected me. I said, Lord, why are you doing this? That's what he told me. See, they're going down in the Red Sea too. Because they're part of Babylon. They're not part of Christianity. And rivers in the desert. Yes, he will. He'll feed his people. He'll water his people. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness. The Lord is going to show how he's going to preserve his people by his mighty hand. And rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people which I formed for myself, that they might set forth my praise. And I thought I'd just go back and pick out a bunch of texts that we've just received just recently about the victory over this enemy or our enemies. I just received this text yesterday, Psalm 106 and 8, which fits very nicely with this. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. See, God's not doing this because we're all so righteous. He's doing it for his name. He wants to prove he is a mighty Savior, a powerful Savior. In fact, it goes on to say that he might make his mighty power to be known. Look at the nations out there. Look at the nations of Islam. Look at the nations that don't know God. They're seeing God do something here. Something that would have been impossible. This is a mighty miracle. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through a wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him that hated them. Yeah, they killed themselves. Chasing them into the Red Sea. Again, we call them the stupid demons for a good reason. Think about it. Their God parted the Red Sea so that his people could go through it. And you've been their enemy, and you've been chasing them, and you've got no better sense than to enter in behind them into the Red Sea? Well, that's what's happening. They don't have any sense. Let me say this while I'm thinking about it. Pray for the children that they're killing, they're sacrificing. Pray about that. Come against that in the name of Jesus. And redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Oh, yes. And the waters covered their adversaries. There was not one of them left. Not one of them left. Isn't that awesome? Amazing. Then believed they his words, and they sang his praise. Yep, as we've said before, right song, wrong side. On the other side, they sung his praise. They should have done that before they entered into the waters, right? That's what we need to be doing, singing his praise. And Leon just received 2 Chronicles 7 and 13. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, and if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Remember that about the pestilence, right? Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And Eve just received this recently, Psalm 37, 34 through 40. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. But one passed by, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. That's because they all went down in the Red Sea. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. For there is a happy end to the man of peace. Sometimes you don't think that way when you're chased by Pharaoh's army or when you're persecuted by the wicked. You don't feel, you know, all that. But they rejoice on the other side. And I know that God's people are weak in that way. But we need to do it, right? There's a happy end to a man of peace. And as for transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. Sure were, weren't they? The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. And the Lord helpeth them and rescueth them. He rescueth them from the wicked and saveth them because they have taken refuge in him. And Merlin got this text, Isaiah 47:8 through 10. Now therefore hear this, thou that art given to pleasures, that sittest securely, that sayest in thy heart, I am, and there's none else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. And widowhood, in their full measure shall they come upon thee, in the multitude of thy sorceries. Yep, that's what they're doing. And the great abundance of thine enchantments. Yep, that's what they're doing. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, and thou hast said, none seeth me, thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and there's none else besides me. Aren't they finding out differently now? I'm going to have to jump through this a little bit, or I'll run out of time. Sue Gilbert got Isaiah 14:1-17, and I will jump through it a little bit. The Lord will have compassion on Jacob. He will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the sojourner shall join themselves to them, etc. And I'm going to jump on down a little bit. And they shall take them captives whose captives they were. They're going to end up in jail. Yep. And they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy trouble and from the hard service wherewith thou wast made to serve. And thou shalt take up this parable against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. Hoo-hoo. You think we got that by accident? That smote the peoples in wrath with a continual stroke. Yes, that's what they've done. That ruled the nations in anger with a persecution that none restrained. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yes, indeed. I'm going to go down to verse 13. And thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. So this is against the king of Babylon, and yet you're seeing Satan here. Who is Satan in? Yeah, the king of Babylon. Thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That was their plan. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. That was their plan. In the uttermost parts of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to Sheol, to the uttermost parts of the pit. They that see thee shall gaze at thee, they shall consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Yes, he did. That made the world as a wilderness, and overthrew cities thereof? Yes, they have. And let not loose his prisoners to their home. True. And Alana got this text about, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Let me say, if you're wrestling with flesh and blood, or you're all upset about what the humans are doing, this is what you need to do. This is where you will find the power from God. Take care of the principalities and powers. The humans are just dupes. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. That's what we need. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and so on. Right? And here's one Leon got. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad. That's Zephaniah 3:14-20. Rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not fear evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, O Zion. Let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. And if he's there, he's going to take care of you, he's going to enable you, he's going to empower you, he's going to gift you to do what he's called you to do, right? So this is spoken to the daughter of Zion. And by the way, Zion has nothing to worry about. It's like the Sennacherib scenario or the northern army. Both cases were the same. And they're talking about the same thing. And they were conquered. They did conquer the people of God except for Zion. And this has happened. The people of God are serving the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, which is the beast, right? A mighty one who will save. He's in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And I will gather them that sorrow for the solemn assembly who were of thee, to whom the burden upon her was a reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict thee. I will save that which is lame, gather that which was driven away. I will make them a praise and a name, whose shame hath been in all the earth. Okay, so these people that have been driven away, he's going to gather them back together and raise them up, deliver them from their enemies, right? Deliver him from the curse, as Jesus did. At that time will I bring you in. At that time will I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among the peoples of the earth when I bring back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. Here's a wonderful text that both Shalanda and Brandy got. Habakkuk 3:1-15. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, set to Shaginoth. O Lord, I have heard the report of thee and am afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, and in the midst of the years make it known. In wrath remember mercy. God came from Teman. Well, the Temanites, of course, were, Esau's country right there. And the Holy One from Paran, his glory covered the heavens, and his earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had rays coming forth from his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence. We've gotten that a few times since we talked on pestilence. Before him. The pestilence is coming, and then the Lord is coming in his man-child ministry, right? And fiery bolts went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. That was against his people, right? And the eternal mountains were scattered. We can see that these earthquakes are going to do just that. The everlasting hills did bow. His goings forth were as of old. Everybody said, why don't God do the things he used to do? Well, there it is. His goings were as of old. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, the curtains of the land of Midian. Again, God's enemies, these factioned away from their own brothers here, just like Esau did. You know, God's going to judge the faction. Was the Lord displeased with the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers, or thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thy horses, upon thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite bare, meaning he'd shot his arrows. The oaths to the tribes were a sure word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. Yes, there's going to be rivers where there's never been rivers. When this time the Lord is through with the earthquakes, he's coming in the midst of these earthquakes with making rivers too. The mountains saw thee and were afraid. The tempest of waters passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted up its hands on high. There's that deep again, covering up his enemies. I see. Thou wentest forth, verse 13, for the salvation of thy people, for the salvation of thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked man. That's exactly what's going on right now. Laying bare the foundation even unto the neck. Thou didst pierce with his own staves the head of his warriors. Well, that's kind of like them killing themselves, right? I mean, what did they do when they followed God's people into the Red Sea? They came as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. But thou didst tread the sea with thy horses, the heap of mighty waters. Yes. The Red Sea is going to take down the enemies. Brandy had Psalm 27, one on a Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh, even mine adversaries and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, even then will I be confident. I'm going to skip on down a little bit. And he will lift me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies. Round about me, and I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And here's Leon's text, Zechariah 2:6-12. Ho, ho, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Ho, Zion, escape thou that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what God's people are going to do, especially Zion, the bride. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after glory hath he sent me unto the nations which plundered you. Mm-hmm. And he that toucheth you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall be a spoil to those that serve them. Well, that's what's happening, isn't it? Exactly. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come. I will dwell in the midst of thee. There it is again. This is when he's going to make war. Where is he going to make war from? Zion, says the Lord. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Yes. Okay. One more. This is Michael Hare's text. Isaiah 59 and 14 through 21. And justice is turned away backward, and righteousness standeth afar off. Isn't that the way it's really been? Isn't this what you're seeing on the national news media, you know, that's totally bought out by the deep state? Isn't this what you're seeing? For truth has fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yea, truth is lacking, and he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. Yes, haven't they made war on anybody who said the truth? And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. And there hasn't been any justice. Very little yet, but they're getting their ducks in a row. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him. Yeah, that's the arm of the Lord, Jesus Christ, right? And his righteousness is upheld him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a mantle. This is the Lord coming to fight for us. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come as a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord driveth. And a redeemer will come to, what? Zion. That's the bride. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And that's why God defended Zion against Sennacherib's army, against the northern army, right? And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed. How do you know that you're the seed of the Lord? Because his words are going to be in your mouth. Nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. That could be your children, right? Spiritually or physically, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Well, isn't that cool? Well, Father, we're thanking you for victory against this evil enemy. We know it's a temporary setback for them. We know that coming down the road is a tribulation, but at least for the first 3.5 years of that, there will be relative, not peace, but relative peace compared to the second 3.5 when the beast makes war on the saints. But at least the saints have a time to become the saints, to become the sanctified ones, and a time for 3.5 years where they will be trained up by the man-child Jesus once more in the wilderness, in the desert, and be prepared to face the beast, just like when Jesus raised up the bride in that day. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. That was Jesus and his disciples, right? And he raised them up in that 3.5 years. He taught them, and then they went out and faced the beast and the harlot in the second period, which was 40 years, basically. But 40 represents the same thing as 3.5. It represents tribulation, testing. Okay, so they went out solo, basically, and once again, this time for 3.5 years, the bride and the people that follow will be made war on by the beast. And a redeemer will come to Zion. unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Why is that? Well, it's because they're not under the curse. They have turned from transgression, and they're not under the curse. And Lord, we thank you for sanctifying your people, turning them from transgression, so that they may be used mightily in these days to come. Father, we ask, Lord, that you raise up your bride to go forth just as Jesus did, to do this mighty work of building the kingdom. And we praise you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we praise you for it. We thank you that the victory is already ours. It's already ours. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. And so, the dark demons and their human hosts will meet with judgment. Thank you, Father, that you're going to defend your people who walk in righteousness. Lord, you've shown us in these days to do the thing that was done in Joel chapter 2 when the northern army was coming, and that's cry out to you and exercise our faith towards you as our mighty Savior. And of course, we've seen that in all the verses that we've looked at today. Thank you so much, Father, for doing this. We ask, Lord, that you rise up in us and help us to be what we could never be, to defend one another, to be prayer warriors, to pray for our brethren, to intercede for them, to defend them. This seems to be a time when a lot of people are being attacked by different entities, and Lord lets that happen in order to get us to pray sometimes, and soul search sometimes. And so, Father, we're just thanking you for this victory that you've already given us. We stand on your word. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you that this deep state enemy has been conquered. And we're rejoicing on this side of the Red Sea. Oh, thank you, Father. Well, okay, saints, Michael Harris is going to come and share a word too with you. And Father, we just ask that you bless Michael and everybody that's listening. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.